100 years ago this week, a ragged band of children started on a very long walk from Philadelphia to New York. Many of the children had missing fingers. Many of them had bent spines. The children were laborers who worked in the mills and factories of eastern Pennsylvania. They wanted to meet with President Theodore Roosevelt as he took a summer holiday with his children on Long Island's Oyster Bay, playing games, reading books, and riding ponies. The children's march was led by Mary Harris Jones, Mother Jones, as she's known to history, a 73-year-old labor organizer who said she wanted President Roosevelt to see the wounds that millwork left on the bodies of the children. Susan Campbell Bartoletti is the author of Kids on Strike, an account of children who fought for better working conditions at the turn of the 20th century. She joins us now from the studios of WVIA in Pittston, Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Children worked in the United States 100 years ago. They worked on farms as well as factories, didn't they?
Well, child labor really began on farms. You know, as soon as the first colonies were established, you've always had child workers. And then when our country began to become industrialized, when the first mills were made in the late 1700s, this is the first time that children actually found employment in industrial-type settings. And there were approximately 16,000 children who worked in the Kensington Mills just outside Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The children in these mills did all kinds of work. They sewed coats and dresses, shirts, stockings. They made carpets. They cleaned the machinery. They swept the floors, and they performed countless other jobs as well. Children were ideal workers because they had nimble fingers, small bodies that could fit into different parts of machinery in order to clean them better. They had keen eyesight, and they also worked for much lower wages than adults did.
How did it happen that these children essentially began to rise up against the people who ran the mills?
Well, these children were working 60 hours a week, and they wanted to work 55 hours a week so that they would have time to go to school. And so they approached the mill owners and asked them if they could please have 5 hours off each week so that they might have time to attend night classes. And the mill owners told them no. When Mother Mary Jones, Mother Jones, heard about the children, she packed a bag, left West Virginia, and headed for Pennsylvania.
The march they undertook, I guess, is about 125 miles between Philadelphia and where they wanted to wind up in New York. Mm-hmm. And here you had a march of children led by a senior citizen. What did this look like?
Oh, this must have been an amazing sight, 400 children. And they must have been just a ragtag band. I mean, you have kids 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. They were very thin. They looked like waifs. And they packed up their little lunches and they packed bedrolls. I love the signs that the children painted. I mean, they held up these placards that said, "We only ask for justice. More schools, less hospitals." And my favorite sign, "We want to go to school."
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't see signs like that anymore.
Must be noted, there was a kind of uprising, incipient uprising against Mother Jones along the route, because this was tough. I mean, the weather was sweltering, they were pelted by rainstorms, the food was bad to inedible and often inadequate, and Mother Jones did not live in the same way the kids did.
No, she often stayed in hotels while the children camped out. I don't think so much the children minded the camping out. They were fishing, they were playing, they were having fun. It was the first time that these kids had spent this amount of time out of doors in probably several years. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the people, the adults who went along with Mother Jones, they were the one people who objected to the fact that they felt that Mother Jones was living a little better than they were. Mm-hmm. Along the way.
I mean, to find out that she was sleeping in hotels and eating better than... I mean, this analogies are imperfect, but I mean, is this a little bit like finding out that Mother Teresa was wolfing down a chili cheeseburger?
I'd say Mother Jones was 73 years old. You know, the people that were concerned about where she was staying were probably people who really weren't looking at the big picture.
President Roosevelt vacationing with his youngsters, his own youngsters, in Oyster Bay, Long Island, I think it's safe to say didn't exactly have drinks waiting for them when they got there.
No, Mother Jones. She was known at this time as the most dangerous woman in America. When Mother Jones walked up to the gates and announced to the secretary, the president's secretary, Mr. Barnes, that she was had finally arrived, he said, "I'm sorry, but you cannot just drop in on the president."
Now, of course, Theodore Roosevelt is esteemed in our historical memory as a man who was a reformer, who was a trust buster, who in fact had his own battles against corporate tycoons and major corporations. What prevented Theodore Roosevelt, who could be a publicity hog himself, from going out and embracing these youngsters?
Well, Theodore Roosevelt believed that it wasn't the business of the president to regulate child labor. He believed that it was the business of the individual states. And so he wanted child labor to be left up to each state to regulate.
Miss Barletti, looking back on it, what did this march accomplish?
There were no laws changed. She didn't even get to see the president. So on some level, you could say that the march of the 1903 mill children was a failure. The children had to go back to work. The Kensington workers returned to the mills, defeated. But 6 years later, Pennsylvania passed much stronger child labor laws, and they also implemented better means of enforcement. And many people credit Mother Jones and this March of the Mill Children with raising the recognition of the problem of child labor in the states.
And at the same time, the pair of blue jeans we might buy this summer might have been produced by child labor in Malaysia.
Absolutely.
Ms. Bartoletti, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Susan Campbell Bartoletti speaking from Pittston, Pennsylvania. Today there's a combination of state and federal laws, including the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, that are in place to better protect children in the workplace.